Just come back with Bill Melberg, our political humorist and satirist, another look at the week's news. We always have fun recapping the week in news and having fun, poking fun at our leaders, both sides of the aisle. We have fun with that. And if we don't do this and have a good laugh, we'll all cry.
That's right.
Good stress relief coming up next with Bill Melberg on the radio as we recap. And some appearances this morning from former Presidents Clinton, Congressman Barney Frank, who seems to be a regular now, and John McCain in their point-counterpoint, and some other surprises as well. Stand by for Bill Melberg next on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Our political humorist and satirist coming up next after Fox News.
Loud and clear on the new Connect FM.
And again, Cardinals-Rockies tonight, 7:15 first pitch. Bill Melberg coming up next.
This Fox News update is brought to you by Freestar Bank. Life keeps getting better. Fox 3.
Well, on Fridays, we get together with the best political humorist and satirist going on, baby. He is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He travels all over with this wonderful live show. You can go to aneveningwiththepresidents.com and learn more about Bill Melberg, U of I alum, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning to Mr. Bill Melberg. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And good morning, Connect FM listeners. And to answer your question, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, this Bill, this has been quite a news week, has it? I mean, quite a news week.
Stevie and Diane, it certainly has. And since we last spoke 7 days ago, for the first time in history, the Standard & Poor's credit rating agency downgraded the U.S. credit rating. President Obama called it a mistake. In the wake of the S&P downgrade, the Dow Jones took a nosedive on Monday, just as President Obama was holding a press conference and trying to convince investors that despite everything pointing to the contrary, he really does know what he's doing. On Tuesday, the Dow Jones recovered some of Monday's huge losses. President Obama said it proved that investors had complete faith in his leadership. But one day later, the Dow Jones plunged again. This time, President Obama said it was the fault of Tea Party terrorists, Republican Party extremists, millionaires, billionaires, corporate jet owners, Japanese earthquakes, and George W. Bush. Yesterday, the Dow Jones was up again. White House spokesman Jay Carney said it was due to President Obama's brilliant leadership and gutsy decisions. Meanwhile, Wisconsin voters handed President Obama and his public employee union supporters their third straight election defeat in the past 9 months. A recall effort to change the balance of power in the Wisconsin State Senate failed. A sign, according to some political analysts, that Democrats across the country could be facing a blowout next November.
Wow, what a week! What a week! And I might add...
And you should try spitting all that out, too.
Good job, Bill.
I might add, it's been a rather depressing week with all of the economic uncertainty.
Yes, it was, Stevie and Diane, but all of that bad news isn't stopping President Obama from taking his family on yet another vacation, demonstrating what seems to be his new motto, don't worry, be happy.
Well, many people are worried, including incumbent Democrat politicians who fear the blowout in next year's election that you mentioned a moment ago.
That it could happen?
Yeah.
Well, Stevie, that's because President Obama's approval ratings are plummeting with the economy. And there's even talk in some circles that the president could face a primary challenger next year in order to avert a Republican election landslide. In fact, some Democrats are even suggesting that the party made a mistake in 2008 nominating Barack Hussein Obama instead of Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Well, joining us now are two former presidents, including President Jimmy Carter, who faced a primary challenge from Teddy Kennedy in 1980. And President Bill Clinton, whose wife Hillary lost a close nomination contest to Barack Obama in 2008. First, let's welcome Jimmy Carter. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Stevie. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
Mr. President, let's talk about the Obama presidency and the American economy. Needless to say, this has been a depressing week for the economy. And some say this was a turning point in the Obama presidency. The week when, according to the latest polls, a majority of Americans have become disillusioned with the president's unfulfilled promises of hope and change. Your response, sir?
Well, Stevie, first of all, President Obama promised transformational change 3 years ago. And I think he's delivered. Because since Barack Obama took office, unemployment has soared, housing values have collapsed, countless small businesses have gone under, and government spending and the national debt have both reached astronomical proportions. So you see, President Obama has succeeded in transforming the American economy into a basket case.
That's the kind of success most Americans could do without, don't you agree?
Well, Stevie, once again, it depends on your meaning of the word change and shared sacrifice. For example, if you have air conditioning in your home and your neighbor does not, is it fair to use your air conditioning when it's hot outside? If you have heat in the winter and your neighbor does not, is it fair to keep your house warm?
You aren't suggesting that I stop using my heat or air conditioning just because one of my neighbors might not have a furnace or an air conditioner?
Well, that would be a shared sacrifice, Stevie. And President Obama is calling on all of us to make shared sacrifices. Let me give you another example. Why should millionaires and billionaires have corporate jets if the rest of us don't have them? As President Obama has said, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs.
I thought that was Karl Marx who said that.
Oh, maybe you're right. But it's a catchy slogan, don't you think? In any case, I just want to take this opportunity to thank President Barack Obama for everything he's done since taking office.
Why is that, sir?
Well, Stevie, because from now on, whenever anybody's talking about who was our worst president ever, they're never going to mention me anymore.
Well, thank you, President Carter, for being with us. And now let's welcome former President Bill Clinton. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Hello.
Although I don't know what's good about America's credit rating going down, the stock market riding on a roller coaster, and nearly 20 million Americans still unemployed.
And who do you think is responsible for the current economic mess, sir?
Well, Stevie, Barack Obama inherited a mess when he came into office. But he's made it worse. And I'm not going to say I told you so. But you might recall that 3 years ago I said Hillary would be ready to be president on day one. And while he's a nice guy with a nice smile who can read a teleprompter really good, Barack Obama is in over his head. And that could spell disaster with a capital D for the Democratic Party next year.
So how can that disaster be averted, sir?
By changing our tune, Stevie. By changing the music. And here's the song I'm now singing to my fellow Democrats. How do we solve a problem like Obama? How do we fix his bad economy? How do we solve a problem like Obama? He's losing all his popularity. Oh, how do we solve a problem like Obama?
How do you solve a problem like Obama?
I say we dump him and run Hillary. And wow. Diane, if Hillary were to run and win, that would make me the first man to be first lady. Now, wouldn't that be swell?
Yes, it would, sir. It would, although I don't think Michelle Obama would be too happy about it. In any case, thank you, former President Bill Clinton, for being with us this morning. And now it's time for our weekly point, counterpoint, team of Senator John McCain, Republican from Arizona, and Congressman Barney Frank, Democrat from Massachusetts. Good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me all right?
Good morning, my friends. I hear you just fine. Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane. I hear you both wild and queer as always.
Well, gentlemen, you might recognize that familiar tune as Good Ship, the Good Ship Lollipop. One of the lines in that song is about lemonade stands. The same sort of lemonade stand that was in the news this week when government authorities in Coralville, Iowa, shut down little four-year-old Abigail Kritzinger's lemonade stand. Why? Because Abigail didn't have a vendor's permit and a Board of Health certificate. My question to you, is Big Brother going too far?
Stevie, my friend, first of all, let me say that little Abigail isn't a millionaire. She isn't a billionaire. She doesn't even own her own corporate jet. She's just a four-year-old little girl learning about capitalism and free enterprise the old-fashioned way with a lemonade stand. But that, my friends, is a high crime and misdemeanor under Obamianism.
Congressman Frank?
Stevie, I think Senator McCain has grossly miscalculated this incident. Let's look at the facts. Widow Abigail was operating a beverage bar. But not only didn't she have a license to operate a bar, she didn't have a government-approved food processing facility. Where did she get the water for her ice cubes? And was her lemonade made from concentrate or from real lemons?
Senator McCain?
I'll tell you who the real lemons are, my friend. Left-wing busybodies like Bernie Frank and the idiots who shut down little Abigail's lemonade stand.
Congressman Frank?
Stevie, what if John McCain had been campaigning in Iowa this week and had come across little Abigail's lemonade stand? And what if he had bought one of her overpriced glasses of lemonade and contracted food poisoning from a rotten woman? I wonder if Senator McCain would be defending that widow Warbreaker if she made him sick. What do you say to that, Senator McCain?
Senator?
I say, Bernie Frank, you're a nut.
Congressman Frank, you get the last word today, sir.
Well, Stevie, I just want to say that I really love that song on your good ship, Wally Pop. I still remember Widow Shirley Temple singing it. I watched all of Shirley Temple's movies when I was a little boy. And I really wish I could hear Widow Shirley Temple singing the Good Ship Wowie Pop to make my morning complete.
Well, Congressman Frank, your wish is our command. And as we take this time out for some very important messages, here's Shirley Temple just for you.
Where bonbons play on the sunny beach and peppermint stay. Lemonade stand everywhere, Cracker Jack stand, smelly air, and there you are.
And with that, we'll be right back with more from our political humor satirist Bill Melberg on 93.5, 95.3, the New Connect FM. Back with Bill Melberg, 93.5, 95.3, the New Connect FM. Bill, the debate in Ames, Iowa last night. I'm having a Fox clip. You want to hear it? It's kind of a montage of the essence of what happened.
All right. And as Bill Clinton would say, I'm looking forward to hearing Michelle Bachmann.
Here we go from last night, Ames, Iowa.
You will be a one-term president.
President Obama has had 2.5 years to get it right on the most important issue we face, expanding the economy and creating jobs. He's fundamentally failed us.
I'd be prepared to take as many people from Homeland Security's bureaucracy in Washington and move them to Texas, Arizona, and New Mexico as are needed to control the border.
I believe we should have a federal amendment to the Constitution that defines marriage as a relationship between a man and a woman.
I think this nation can do a better job when it comes to equality.
You said the era of small government was over. That sounds a lot more like Barack Obama, if you ask me.
I sympathize with Michelle Bachmann, who stands up and says, I'm going to stand firm on these things. You need to stand firm on these things, but you can't stand and say, you give me everything I want or I'll vote no.
Price of oil goes down. It puts an economic squeeze on Iran. This is why I believe we should have a serious energy independence strategy in order to be able to be a player on the world market.
How do you respond to people who say that your campaign has been a mess so far?
Well, let me say, first of all, Chris, that I took seriously Brett's injunction to put aside the talking points. And I wish you would put aside the gotcha questions.
If you can find Barack Obama's specific plan on any of those items, I will come to your house and cook you dinner. Obamacare was patterned after the Mitt's plan in Massachusetts. And for Mitt or anyone else to say that there aren't substantial similarities or they're not essentially the same plan, it just is incredible. So that's why I called it Obamacare. And I think that's a fair label.
We want to make sure that America is a home and welcome to the best and brightest in the world. If someone comes here and gets a Ph.D. In physics, that's the person I'd like to staple a green card to their diploma, rather than saying to them to go home.
Okay. It's time we quit this. It's time. It's trillions of dollars we're spending on these wars.
There we are. Last night's debate, Bill. What'd you think?
Well, those were some of the definite highlights and lowlights there, I guess. I noticed the Tim Pawlenty line that if you can find Obama's entitlement plan, I'll cook your dinner or mow your lawn.
Yeah, right.
And what was left out of that clip is he added, if Mitt Romney wins, I'll only mow 1 acre of it.
That's a funny line.
And Mitt Romney, and we heard his, or Tim Pawlenty, we heard talking about Obamacare.
Yeah, right.
And they asked Mitt Romney what you thought of, what do you think about Governor Pawlenty's answer? And he said, I think I like this answer better than the last debate answer.
Right, yeah, that was good. That was good. Well, I don't know. Ron Paul, a little out there on some of the Iran talk. I thought that was a little shaky.
Yes, although I'm sure he would have had little Abigail, the lemonade stand owner's vote when he said we need to lower regulations and taxes on
that's
private
right.
property.
Yeah, that's right. He's a little libertarian. And then
Herman Cain, of course. When they asked him about one of his answers about building moats and alligators on the border.
I got time for Herman. Let's listen.
Obama joked about protecting the borders with alligators and a moat. Not only did you embrace the idea, you upped the ante with, quote, a 20-foot barbed wire electrified fence. Were you serious?
America has got to learn how to take a joke.
There you go.
Well, Bill, that's a good motto.
Hey, listen, buddy. Appreciate your time and talent as always.
All right. And I'm glad you guys know how to take a joke.
You bet. All right. Listen for Bill Melberg a little later after 3 today on our podcast at myconnectfm.com. You can listen again. And also an evening with thepresidents.com. Hey, Diane, have a great weekend.
Enjoy the day.
I'm Stevie J. Thanks for listening. We'll meet you Monday. Have a great weekend.